Okay, Mishnah Avraham Chiasim Aleph. So the Mishnah that towards the bottom of the page, second Mishnah on the page, that about 8 lines from the bottom, so it's probably 9.
Oh, I didn't bring my thing because I'm on the way to a wedding and I don't have a car, but I know it. It says confidently.
Gemara is where
9.
No, I said 8, so it's probably 9.
Oh, you did say 8.
Okay, Misha Evid O Isha O Katan Makrinoso. So if you have an Evid or an Isha or a Katan, last thing you mentioned was discussing about where you shake Lulav and Esrog, so we're still on the topic. Then we talk about a person who doesn't have Lulav and Esrog in his house, but the topic of Hallel. A person who has an Evid or an Isha or a Katan who's Makrinoso. Back in the day, they used to have one person lead, and everyone else, we'll see what they would do, but they would answer. They would either answer Haluka to every single statement they would make, or they sometimes they repeat after them. We'll see in a minute. It depends on who was being makrin, who was reciting it for them. But a person who has his servant or his wife or a young child who's makrin, so who calls or recites the halal in advance for the person who is listening, for the adult male who's listening, onacharein mashein omrin. You should recite exactly what they say. I mean, don't rely on their statement and just say amen to it or haluka to it. You have to say what they say. The reason why is because they're not really chai b'davar. The Eved, Isha, or Katan are not really obligated to recite the Hallel. They can be motzi you. Who is obligated to recite the Hallel? We know Hallel, as we'll see later on in the Mishnah, the next parak, you have Hallel for 8 days in Sukkos. And a full Hallel. So therefore, if someone's going to help you be yotzi your mitzvah Hallel, it's got to be someone who's chayiv. So knocks out an Eved, an Isha, and a Katan. If they recite a Hallel for you, you should respond word for word what they say. You should respond back. Do not rely on a Halleluka. But Tavlo Meira, and not only that though, but if you do that, if you use them to be your makria, a curse should come upon you. Meaning it's not a good thing to rely on them. Rashi here says one of two reasons why. Say again?
Upon him.
One reason is that you should have learned it. Meaning you should have learned, and you didn't learn. You were lazy. You didn't learn how to do the halal, so shame on you, curse upon your head. And if you did learn it, but you still wanted them to kind of lead you, shame on you that these are your representatives, representation, when they're not even chayiv and you're chayiv, it shouldn't be there representing you. You may have gadol makro. So what happens if it wasn't an isha or a katan, but it was a male over the age of 13, being makro for a male over the age of 13? So on achrav haluka, you don't have to recite word for word what he says because he's being motzi you, but you should have like the main version of halal, I guess. Haluka, that Hashem should be praised, and that will be the response that you make to each part of his halal that he's reciting for you. Now the Mishnah makes a statement not about someone being makrif for you, but in general, different customs that we have within the world of halal. Makam shenagol lichpol, yichpol. There are some places where we have the custom to repeat certain lines. You should be repeating those lines. Rashi over here quotes a lot of these that we actually do today. We do them, if you look in the Rashi over here, he quotes Hodu in the beginning, Hodu in the end, Yomer Na a few times. Krasi Hashem, Krasi Ka, not even Merchav Ka. That's repetition. Hashem Li, Tolachos, Savuni, Sabuni. There are many lines that seem to be very, very similar to each other. When the Makom was that you should repeat those lines, so you repeat those lines. Livshot, Yivshot. If it's to say one time only, then say it only one time. Levarach, Yivarach. If the Makom was to say it with a bracha, then you say it with a bracha. Hakol Kamek Medina. Each thing is according to the Minhag that was fit in the place. So it was not the halal we have today that we're saying was really depending upon the location, the place that you were in, could have different formats attached to it. As far as who should be the one saying it, so it should be an adult for sure is leading it. Should not be a katan. If a katan does it, or an isha or an eved, you should recite after they finish every word they say. You should recite it yourself, the same exact thing. And even if you did it that way, it's still inappropriate to have a shliach, an emissary, to kind of lead you who's of that state. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. Now, this next time the Gemara over here is going to be a topic, not about a halal, but once again about being led by someone who's not mechuyev bedavar on a daraisa level, a katan, an eved, or an isha. It's in the world of brachos, the world of birchas and mazon. Be'emes amru, and Rashi says be'emes. What is the word be'emes amru? Ever said that means that this is halacha and no one argues. Be'emes amru says Rashi again. Kol be'emes halachi be'ein cholik bedavar. Everyone accepts this idea. This is the truth. Ben mevarach la'aviv, ve'evan mevarach la'rabo, ve'isha mevarachas la'bala. Again, the topic of birchas and mazon. A son can lead a father, a servant can lead his master, and a wife can lead her husband. And over here, it says Rashi, a very important line, assuming that the son has got to the age of chinuch, first of all, so he's a chiv derabban at least, and that the father did not have a daraisa level of eating, which is a level of visavata. So only if the father had a drabanan amount of food, then and only then could a chiv drabanan be motzi him. And therefore this child... It's a great question. Rashi is not saying that over here, though. Oftentimes we say you need to have a single drabanan, be motzi a single drabanan. I mean, if both have only had a shir drabanan, to trade drabanan, it could be less possible. But Rashi is not mentioning that part. Rashi only points out that you couldn't have had a shir derayis. So he doesn't talk at all about whether the other person has a shir derayis. So that part he didn't mention at all. Okay.
He did not eat.
A shir deraisa. Right.
So, he didn't eat anything.
Mitam v'arevus, he is a mechuyah bedavar. Meaning, he is someone who is in the parsha, in the world of this din. But in general, if it's a birchas a mitzvah, for sure he could. If it's a birchas a shevach, so mitam he could also. Birchas shevach, you can do someone else. Someone else's shevach he can do. We do it under the kuppah. You know, we do it for the chasm, right? It depends on what bracha would be.
And what are we categorizing with
that? So I'm saying, it's not brachas anen, that's usually one bracha you have beforehand, right? Usually brachas anen is what you do before you eat, not after you eat. Okay. What's a bracha after you eat? It's not a bracha a shevach. So in theory, if you couldn't do it for some reason, you didn't know how to do it, someone else could do it for you. I'm not sure why you wouldn't be able to.
Even though that person has no chiv on the specific...
No, but you are a mechuyah bedavar. I mean, you are someone who is in the realm, the category of... The parsha, right? You're in the parsha of Birchas HaMazon. You're not someone who's out of this topic. You are in the topic of Birchas HaMazon. Even though you're not chayv right now, but if it's a Birchas HaMitzvah, and you're chayv in the mitzvah also, in general, you're chayv in this mitzvah, it could be more lenient in that case.
So can we apply that to having a zimun?
No, because a zimun is not an obligation. You don't. There's no mitzvah to do a zimun. It's only if you have a certain amount of people. If you don't have a certain amount of people, there's no mitzvah of zimun. Right? It's only Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Godol Kena. When you have this group together, then you have to be Rav Anj Melech. You have to pray the Kodesh Baruch Hu. Yeah.
If the person's in the room and you've got the child or the woman or slave or whatever there, and
yeah,
but there's no one else in the room, you better not say whatever it is.
No, you guys. If you don't know without that, you need their help. Then they should help you. Shame on you. It's basically shame on you.
Shame on you, but you should still do it.
It's the best option you got right now. It's like the evening before Alos, after Alos, before Nates. Shame on you, what are you going to do? You have no choice.
Dabbing on your own, according to you.
Yeah, after Alos, yeah, I'm still into that. I told you what Zalowski said. You know, he said what I said before about the same Zman. He was not at all like okay with that.
Daniel Essence doesn't know what
we're doing. Well, I'll tell you later on. Anyways. No, I'm not sure. I think I stopped the tape before we got to that last part, I think. I don't remember. Okay, anyway, yeah, right.
I used to go to shul in the morning when I worked in banking 11 at 7 o'clock, and I got the rabbi Kimberly, to agree that I could run a slichus in the evening. And he said 11, I said no, 10, and we compromised 10:15. And then when I came here, I went to Rabbi Myers, once gave a shiur, and he said there's one opinion, I think it was Rabbi Badia or some Scottish rabbi, he said if you say slichus in the wrong part of the night, it's actually worse than not saying it. It's
a
spiritual nuclear weapon against you, you're better off not saying it. I was like, whoa,
dude,
10 years.
Yeah. That's why you need all that melatonin afterwards. Okay. Anyway, it says the Gemara further. Amar Chamim, the Chamim said, even though it's allowed, and you're yotze the mitzvah, still, a curse should come upon the one who has to do it that way. And Rashi says here, because of course, Birchas HaMazon means you don't know how to do it then. It means you don't know how to do it. Why didn't you learn Birchas HaMazon? You should have learned it. Shame on you. Because you learn Birchas HaMazon. Not shame on you for this situation. Shame on you in general for not learning Birchas HaMazon. Okay. Amar Rava. Says Rava. Top Lama Chesma Mabez. Hilchasa Givrasa Iko Lamashma Mimin Hagad De Halila. There's a lot of great halachas. You know, many halachas we can learn out from the customs that we have today. Now, it's not today, like you and I have today. But the custom, that period of time, probably was a little different, slightly different than we have. We'll see some are similar, some are different. But the customs they had back in those days, we learned a lot of very important halachos about halal, both about certain rules of halal, about the most important parts of halal would be. We learned a lot from seeing the customs that we have in halal. Because again, back in the day, not everyone was such a bucky in halal, which means not everyone had to do it. You'd have one person who would lead, the gadol would lead, hopefully, and everyone would listen and say haluka after each party finished. We see from the customs that we had after people became bucky and people became experts, the customs that we still kept with us, you'll understand a lot of different interesting halachos about halal and about tefillah in general. For example, Hu omer haluka vehein omer haluka. It says that the person who's leading should say haluka, and afterwards they respond and say also haluka. The haluka will be the response. We don't, this we don't do, I don't think. But back then they would have this custom of whatever the makir would say, he would say haluka, we would be quiet, listen, and say haluka at the very end, and he'd wait for us to finish. Mikan shemitzvah lanos haluka. You see over here, there was an idea that haluka was something that was appropriate to say. It was a mitzvah to be reciting haluka, that it had its own status. It's like the word amen, I guess, out of halal context. It was appropriate to say haluka at the end of a passage in halal. So it's a good question. It sounds like over here at the end of I don't know if all of it, but certainly, I guess back in the day, after each part. Back in the day, we kept that haluka in place. Even though now we're a bikin, we know how to say halal, we kept, back in the day at least I did, a certain haluka that we would recite in place to let you know that back then, at the time when people weren't bikin, it was a mitzvah to say haluka in each section after each sentence of halal that was recited. Like again, our amen per bracha, was there a haluka per sentence of halal. Again, we don't do it anymore, but they kept that in place even after people became bikin to let you know what the halacha was regarding back in the days haluka. Yeah.
They did not know the procedure, or they didn't know the word.
They were not familiar with the word. They couldn't recite it on their own. They didn't know how to read it. They didn't know how to say it. Whatever it would be, they weren't familiar with halal to be able to recite it. They couldn't read it. Whatever it would be. Okay. Who omer halu of the Hashem veheina omer haluka. Once again, besides the very first haluka, they would say halu of the Hashem, and the response of the tibur would again be haluka. Why is that? Why is this also a din? Mikan shim haya gadol makrioso ona achra haluka. Over here we see once again that if a gadol, only if a gadol would be makri you, is a din of saying haluka afterwards. We mentioned if it was not a gadol doing it, there's no din of saying haluka, it's a din of actually reciting word for word they said back to him. But if it was a gadol, it's a din of saying haluka. Hu omer hodu l'Hashem, v'hein omrim hodu l'Hashem. Again, when the makri says hodu l'Hashem, we also recite, which by the way is what we do today, we do that today, hodu l'Hashem, we do respond to hodu l'Hashem with a hodu l'Hashem. That's what we do. You don't do smart enough to do that?
I'll repeat it.
The chaz is hodu l'Hashem ki tov ki tov chazdo. What do you guys do?
Say that.
Hodu l'Hashem ki tov.
So yeah. On the next.
The next one you don't do it. Okay. Okay.
Or yomar, you just say yomar.
You say each sentence, each.
Together with them, or after they say that, you say the same thing they said back to you. So the custom of those who it could even be the first one talking about. They say hodu and you say hodu back. And this could be, if it's basically more here, it could be what you do also. Mikanshim, mitzvah l'anos, roshim frakim. When you begin the piece, that chapter, when you begin that, and hodu l'Hashem ki tov at the beginning of Kupir Ches, when you begin that chapter, you should be saying word for word what he said. You should be repeating that chapter also, the first sentence. The roshim frakim, at his house, when you start a new parak of Tehillim, you should be saying, they say the first line, you don't respond with haluka, you respond with the first line, repeated back to him once again. So right now we've seen three halachas. Number one, back in the day, they say haluka. Whenever you say haluka, they say haluka. That's how they would do everything. So we have one of those in place. We have a second haluka in place also to teach you that dafka was when a gadol was makrio, so should he be saying it, but not everyone who says it. And the third one was halu l'Hashem ki tov. We respond also to l'Hashem ki tov that whenever you start a new passage, a new paragraph, you're supposed to repeat. You don't say haluka. You repeat the actual first sentence that the shliach tzibur had said for you. It's Barnamu, we have a similar teaching as well. Amar of Chan Barava, mitzvah la'anos roshei prakim. Again, there's a mitzvah to recite the roshei prakim. That was a support for what we just said a minute ago. When you start a new chapter, a new paragraph, we also are supposed to start that new paragraph. Okay, new part. Says the Gemara, who omer anoshem moshiyana, I mean, within the halal still, new part. What's the question? Why do we say with the chaz anashim moshina? Why do we repeat it? We have in place one area where we say exactly the same thing. It's not the Rosh HaPerek. It's in the middle of the Perek. Anashim moshina is in the middle of the Perek. They say it and we say it right afterwards. Why? Because we want to remind you of back in the day. If it would be not a gadol doing it, it would be a katan doing it. So we repeat what they said word for word instead of haluka. That it wouldn't suffice to listen to a katan doing it. So we have put as part of our process the direct repetition to remind you of halachas that had direct repetition back in the day when we were not bakiyan. We would recite the actual verbatim words that the katan would have recited for us. Whoever anashim atzlichana, Mikan, Shimbalich Bol Kofel. Once again, we had earlier on the reminder, we had the Mishnah, that certain people, depending on every minhag, each person has their own minhag, would repeat. They repeat the passage again, the statement again. So we have a repetition again of Anashim Atzlichana to show you that there are people whose custom was to repeat the same thing twice. Doesn't it, Rashi here points out, what does the word Mikan Amru? It doesn't mean that, this passage taught us this halacha, this passage of halacha. It meant that from this passage, or after that, we learned all these halachas from all these passages. In reality, we could have said Anashim Atzlichana could have been the yichful part, the doubling part. Anashim Atzlichana could have been the repeating part of the katan. Each one does not necessarily teach you that halacha, but it means each one of these things, from all of them put together, we learn all of these multitudes of halachas from these discussions.
What's Hodu? Because we say it twice even. We split it in the middle. We don't repeat it verbatim. In the actual, if you go to Tehillim, it says Ana Hashem Hashiyano, Ana Hashem Hatzlichano, and we don't repeat the first half, and then we repeat the second half. We don't repeat it exactly the same.
Again, Ana Hashem Hashiyano, Ana Hashem Hatzlichano. Right? We repeat both statements.
But not in the way of the Tehillim.
Well, we break the pasuk into two.
Yeah, but all the others we don't break into two. That's the point.
Okay.
That one's unique.
Agreed. I'm not sure why that matters, but it's true. It is true. It's true. Okay.
Could you extrapolate that you would people not
know
and sing it?
So I would say Hakol Kfi Minhag HaMakom, meaning it doesn't say you do whatever you want. I mean, you're correct that we're not stick. Usually we stick to a standard text and we don't deviate from the text. Here we're repeating things in the middle, but the laws of the Mishnah at the end are called Kaminaga Madina. I don't know if we can choose. Like, let's say we have a nice song we want to sing. That song we repeat a certain word three or four times in that song. I don't know if it's a Kaminaga Madina. I mean, whoever each Madina had their own Minhagim, can we just choose once we're already, as he's saying, once we're already kind of not being exactly, true to text? Do we have a political, poetic license to start saying more words that fit into our song better? Definitely more room for here than you would elsewhere, obviously. I think you're right. But I don't know if I would stray from the minhag, whatever we have, because that's a kol kfi minhag medina. Okay. Is that, yeah, in the... Ever repeat it?
You got something on your mind.
So that's what he's asking. So he's asking right now. He's saying,
if you're in a place where the minhag is, can you go and do you have to go 999?
So I don't know if the minhag. I mean, I don't know if the minhag is anywhere. I mean, that could be a mistake. A minhag is not like stam. Yeah, it's not like a stam. Like what we now it became the minhag because it's a nice song that we say. Like Tzvi's pointing out. It's definitely, I agree with you in that we see over here that they were not so true to text. As you pointed out, Darren, also, we split the pasuk into two and say each one of them, each part twice. That's not in the... We say each one part twice before we get to the next part even, right? So it's not... So that's Shema Yichpul. But that's Kaminag Medina. It's a Kaminag Medina because it's a nice new popular, lyrics or beat. So now it becomes... Out of that, I don't know about. That I'm not so sure about. Okay. Finally, the last part of here. Who omir baruch haba v'hein omir b'shem Hashem? Now we don't do that. That's not what we do either, right? We say the whole pasuk together. Back then, usually the makers say baruch haba, and we would say b'shem Hashem afterwards. I mean, at the time of the Gemara, we don't do that. But why did they do it back then? So mikan l'shomei kona. The important halakha of shomei kona. It's a very machlokes Rashi also have over here. A big machlokes Rashi also have about what does it mean shomei kona. What is the kih? What's the chafa dimin? According to Rashi, it means shomei is like ona. There's a lot of halachic ramifications. I'm not trying to ask right now. I'm not trying to ask right and they get to Birchas Kohanim. Should I stop and listen? So Rashi says, Shomei is ki ona. Stop, listen, and go on afterwards. But Tosfos holds, Shomei is mamish ona. You should not stop and listen to Birchas Kohanim. That's like you're answering the middle of your Shomei, which shouldn't be Birchas Kohanim. Tosfos, and that's page over here, has been on focus in Rashi, whether or not Shomei is ki ona, the chafa dimyon. It's like ona, but it's not really ona, or no, it's mamish ona. And based upon that, we have a lot of ramifications we have today. Should one pause and stop in the middle of his Shemona Esrei and listen to Birchas Kohanim or Kaddish or anything for that matter, where we would be a potential hefsek if it's mamish ki'ona, like you're really answering, you shouldn't answer in the middle. You shouldn't do that. Yeah.
Isn't there a difference between listening and answering?
It's shomea. What does it mean, shomea and ki'ona? What does that mean? That's the question. What is the ki? The chaf, Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal used to always say that the ki, the chaf ha-dimyon, that what does it mean? Is it comparing it or it's saying it's equal to it? If you say shomea isn't like ona, it's the same thing as ona now, then you shouldn't listen. You shouldn't stop and listen. Rashi, that's what Tosa says. Rashi is not like, Rashi over here says, shomea, it's the best you can do. It's like listening. And therefore, look at Rashi says over here. I think he brings it down in Rashi over here. Look in the Rashi of Hu Omer Baruch Abba V'Heimer Baruch B'Shem Hashem. We'll skip towards the middle. The chief, look at the third line. Yeah.
Doesn't the Gemara even just say V'Hein Omrim? Meaning, if Shomei Kone, why does he even have to respond?
No, because Baruch Abba, I don't say Baruch Abba is my point. I don't say Baruch Abba. I want to show you that your Baruch Abba counts for me. You say Baruch Abba, I say B'Shem Hashem. It's part of the same pasuk. Plus, it's Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem. I should say the whole thing. Or listen to the whole thing. But here, you say Baruch Abba, and I can even say afterwards B'Shem Hashem. What does that show you? So mom's like, I say Baruch Abba. Look at Rashi. Look at Rashi's over here in the middle of the Rashi. Who am I, Baruch Abba? Look at Rashi in the middle. The third line is the Rashi there. The Kivan Libo, the Shmo, Aval Pich Lo Ana, Yatza. V'chein, here's the part. V'chein, the Mispalim B'Tzibor. V'shliach Tzibor Omer Kaddish. O Yehesh Me Rabba. Yish to kubit filasin v'yishmu bekavana for ahein ki'onin. Uksh yigmur akdusha yachzer l'tfilasin. That's what Rabbi Yudai Gon, the Bahag, Baal HaZadolus, brings down as well. That was the idea that you should, it's like its owner. But Tos over here is not so convinced. Look at what it says. Shomav lo anu yatsa. That's the next part here, but he's where he says it over here. Look at towards the end. That tells us shomav lo anu yatsa. Even though it's not yet, but but he says the same discussion with Rashi has. Look at the fourth line from the bottom. Yesh omrim. Oh, sorry, one line. Elavadai. One line down from that one. Third line from the bottom. Elavadai yibhayas shosik haisesh miyasu yavsakas tfilazo. If you would stop and listen, your stop listening will be mamash a hefsek in your davening. You shouldn't stop and listen. You should continue on. If you stop with kavanah biyotze the mitzvah, then it's like you're saying right now, it should be a problem. Okay. Out. I don't have. Okay, says the Gemara a little further, and we'll stop. We'll stop. Bo minei me Rabbi Chia bar Abba. The question was asked. They asked the question. It matters to Rabbi Chia bar Abba. Shama v'lo ana mahu. What if you hear but you don't respond? Whatever's going on around you. You hear in tefillah, and you're not responding to the tefillah. Baruch Abba. I don't say b'shem Hashem. I'm not giving back to you. I'm not being part of the thing. I'm only listening. I mean, how much is my listening really making as if I'm saying it? Which means everyone responded. Everyone said back. So he said back to all of them. The Chachimaya, according to Rashi, that's the Chachamim. And the Sifraya means the people who teach the young children. And the Reisha Amma, which means the people who lead the communities. The Rashaya, the people who are expounding. The Rabbanim who would teach Torahs in public. All of them said, Shomav lo anu yatsa. If you hear something and you don't recite a main, you don't recite, you know, B'Shem Hashem, whatever it is that you're not reciting, you don't recite anything, you listen without any response whatsoever, you would be Yotze in all those cases. It's Barnami, what's that? I've come on to be Yotze, but I don't say the word a main, I'm Yotze. In Barnami, the same was supported as well. I'm a Rishum and Pazi, I'm a Rishum and Levi, Rishum Bar Kapakabara, Midan the Shomea Keona. How we know that Shomea is like Ona, Dichsiv. Over here is a different gear, so we have, but I'll read the puzzle we have on the side. Es hadarim asher kara. Sorry, what I'm trying. As called divrei as sefer. I'm reading the gears we have the Gemara, the pasuk in Malachim. Es kol as divrei. Es called divrei as sefer asher kara Melech Yehuda. Melech Yehuda was Yoshiyahu. The Yoshiyahu karan. Valo Shafan karan. It wasn't Yoshiyahu read it. It was Shafan who read it, as it says. Tichsev in the next pasuk. It says, "Vayaged Shafan a sofer la melech lemur, Sefer Nasan Lichilkiyahu HaKohen, etc. Vayikru'u Shafan Lifnei HaMelech. That Shafan read it in front of the king. It wasn't Yoshiyahu. El Mikal Shemeko. Now here we say that Yoshiyahu read it. He didn't read it. Shafan read it. But since Yoshiyahu listened to it, it's Kili read it. Shomeya is Keona. This is Gemara, 1 second. It's not a good proof. But Dilma Basar de Karanu Shafan Kar Yoshiyahu. Maybe after Shafan actually read it, Yoshiyahu afterwards read it. Maybe he also read it. Amar Acha Bar Yaakov. Don't think that. Don't think that. The Chassid says Yan Rach Levavcha V'Tichna Lifnei Hashem B'Shamacha. Second, where's this pasuk? Yan Rach Levavcha V'Tichna Mipnei Hashem B'Shamacha Asher Dibarti Al Makom Hazeh. It says B'Shamacha V'Lo B'Karacha. As I heard it, it says not as I read it, and therefore, as I heard, not as I read, it means that he never said it over a second time. He never said it over. Only Shafan read it the first time. Yoshiyahu the king never read it himself. But when the Torah describes, the Torah says that Yoshiyahu read it. Why did Yoshiyahu read it? Because Shomeya, we treat, is Keona. That's the reason why. We're almost done. Let's do the last part. We'll stop. Amar Rabba, lo lema inish baruch haba v'hadar b'shem Hashem, ela baruch b'shem Hashem badadi. A person shouldn't say baruch haba and then pause. And say b'shem Hashem. You say baruch haba b'shem Hashem at the same exact time. Rashi says you shouldn't even breathe in the middle of the two. You should have no break whatsoever. The reason why, it looks like you're saying baruch haba, and they say b'shem Hashem. Shem Hashem is not connected to anything else, as Rashi. Shem Hashem is like levatol. You're throwing Shem Hashem out for no reason, so don't do it that way. Skip the parentheses. V'amar Rava lo lema inish yeish me Rava v'adam revarech. Don't say Yehesh Me Rabbah, his name is great name, and then break his name to be blessed. Ella Yehesh Me Rabbah Mavarech Ba'adah, you should say them all together. Again, same idea over here, because we're afraid if you don't say it well, then you're kind of saying Shem Hashem without, you're just saying it out. I'm the Rav Safra Moshe Shapir Kamart.
Oh, in that case, you're not saying Shem Hashem.
Sorry, Moshe Shapir Kamart, question mark? What's that?
You're not saying, in the second scenario, you're not saying Shem Hashem. You're just not.
Mavarech Yehesh Me Rabbah. Let that is great name be blessed. So you're not saying be blessed. It's not Shem Hashem issue. It's just the issue of like you're kind of throwing Shem, the discussion of Hashem. You're not attaching it to be blessed. Now since the Gemara over here, how many Rosh Moshe Shabir Kamart? The Moshe is it Rosh is Bitmia? The Rosha the Moshe Rabbeinu.
He's calling Rava Moshe.
Yeah.
Go to Lador. That's what it says over here. Go to Lador. Say again, Talmud Chacham. Yeah, Rabbeinu Bedora, Moshe Bedora. Good, that's the gear that we have in the Gospel of Tzion. So is this Moshe, meaning Moshe referring to Rava we just quoted over here, is he saying good? Is he saying good? Why are we questioning that? What's the question? He believes he's wrong. He doesn't agree with what Rabbi said. He says there and here as well. Asuki milsa means you're concluding the matter you had earlier. Therefore, there is no such concern of kind of leaving the Shem Hashem, that kind of abandoned in limbo in midair. It's not you can breathe in the middle. The issue over there was that if you stop throwing it out for no reason, that's one thing. But here you can breathe, and even though it seems to be quote unquote, it's kind of left abandoned. It's not the way it case at all. It's not abandoned. And you're allowed to do it that way. We'll stop over here.